Confident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio. My name is Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. If you're having some audio problems, that's on our end. Don't worry, it's not your computer. So nice to have you here with us on the 15th of August, 2008. We are about 1 week into the Olympic Games, and we've got one war in Iraq, another one in Afghanistan. Now we have one in the country of Georgia, and they're getting ready for one around Iran. It's just amazing. I guess one war is not enough. You got to have four. It's getting crazy. It's getting crazy, but we see what's going on and we understand it. Nobody's fallen for it this time. That said, I'm going to bring on our weekly guest. He's a science advisor, honorary science advisor, because we actually are not accredited enough to issue him any formal designation, certificate or whatever. But he's got credentials on his own. He is a scientist, an inventor, an author, a lecturer, and a teacher, and he is my weekly guest on Evident Footprints, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome.
Hey, thank you very much, Don. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm trying to not let any of the stuff that's going on affect me. I'm noticing people are waking up a little bit more this week. It's funny, after the show we did last week, and we focused toward the end, we somehow got focused on intention, which was really interesting because I got some email responses from the listeners. Throughout the week, people were kind of thanking us for the message. And then I noticed all week long, people on other networks were talking about intention. It was very interesting. Now, it goes to show how we put something out there, and especially something positive, and it seems to grow. It grows arms, it grows legs, it even grows wings. And so it was kind of heartening to see that people are actually discussing this aspect. And that's going to lead us to some spiritual solutions for dealing with this insanity that's pervasive around the planet. So I thought you might like hearing about that. And, of course, we talked about Tesla, too. And that was much appreciated by people. So you're free to comment.
Well, I appreciate the feedback. It's always nice to know that the efforts we extend, you know, reach the right kind of hearts. I noticed you started off talking about all the different wars that are going on out there. And this week I've been besieged by people who have been asking me about what I think is going to happen. I mean, after all, I'm not a prophet, you know. But it's very clear to me that the present administration is looking to start something really big. And I think the reason for that is, as much as I hate to say it, since they have no regard for any life, property, or morals of any sort, they wouldn't even care if they started World War III just to cover their tracks. And I think that's what people need to concentrate on. You talk about intention. You know, their intentions have never changed. Mm-hmm. These people want to take over the world any way they can. And if they can't own the whole thing, they want to milk it until there's nothing left. And, you know, once people stop and think about really what's happening, they'll realize that, unfortunately, we're being led by madmen. In this day and age, there is absolutely no reason for the shenanigans that are going on right now. Unless you look past all of that and you realize it's all about the money. Money and oil. Nothing else. So
yeah,
In this mad race for power, if they destroy the whole thing, then they just throw up their hands and say, oh, well, we gave it our best shot. You know, that kind of attitude is unforgivable. And we as people are the only ones who really have the power to stop this.
Mm-hmm. That's quite clear in many ways. Now, I thought you might like to hear something. This is really nothing to do with tonight's show, and yet it has everything to do with tonight's show in a way. I'm going to be on another show tomorrow on Republic Broadcasting Network with Mr. Greg Evenson. And Greg is a former Kansas Highway Patrolman. This man is absolutely brilliant, and you can tell he's got great investigative skills, and he's very concerned about what's going on. What's interesting, Jim, is how he refers to himself. He is a former peace officer. Today, they're called law enforcement officers. It's taken on, you know, the law, police, sheriffs, you know, it's not 100% pervasive across the country, but they're certainly trying to federalize all the police and the sheriff's departments across the country. Of course, all of them aren't buying this. They resent the intrusion into their territory, and they resent what's going on. They're not all stupid. A lot of people can get bought very easily, you know, if they buy him updated equipment or new cars or whatever. Who knows, you know, what goes on behind the scenes, but they always seem to have the latest gear for, you know, whatever's, you know, the plat du jour, we could say, in law enforcement. And Greg Evenson has invited me on to discuss a variety of things. This is very unusual in that I'm going to be on a Patriot Network, and of course I'm going to be talking about some genealogy and some of the things that this type of research has led me to see. What I'm noticing, and I guess I am as much an influence as the next guy as far as researchers go into throwing our hat into the ring and adding whatever, you know, discoveries we made. And if people are really interested in understanding what's going on, they generally will listen to us, they'll familiarize themselves with our work, and then they'll do some research. Well, Greg Evenson is that type of individual, and his forensic research skills are top of the line. And I'm quite honored to be on his show, especially with the background that he has. And at the same time, we are going to branch out into some of the areas that you and I have been talking about, which I even find more exhilarating in that here's a man who has been in the system. He's followed the letter of the law, and he's been an outstanding example for anyone that has a career in public safety, and really, you know, that's part of the public safety department, the police. But it's turned into a militarized arm of the Pentagon and the military-industrial complex. And he sees this. He's very well aware of this. And so I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be able to talk about some of the things that we talk about on this show. This is occurring more and more on the Patriot Networks. They're figuring out, you know, the story is bigger than just politics. It's bigger than just the Constitution. And it's definitely much bigger than the Federal Reserve and the central banks. those are just mechanisms through which they control everybody. So I thought you might appreciate hearing that. And if you're able to get to a computer and listen to that, it'll be on republicbroadcasting.org, and I will actually be appearing on the show 1:30 Eastern, 12:30 Central, and 10:30 Pacific for anyone that's interested in listening to that show.
Is that morning or evening?
Oh, no, that's in the morning, okay? I'm actually starting it in the afternoon in my time zone. So I'm looking forward to that because I see what we've been doing. I see this expanding into the Patriot Network, which is kind of interesting because everything has been, you know, according to the Constitution, according to the Bill of Rights. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those issues are worth addressing, but they've been addressing the corruption going on in the Justice Department and the closed-door meetings of Congress and those types of things. But they also get into the more sinister things, Codex Alimentarius and Agenda 21. And you'll have people that are very, very skilled in a variety of literature, and they can tie all this stuff together, historical literature as well as mythology. We're reading the signs now. This is the wonderful thing. People are waking up, and they can't stop it. You know, they can try to oppress us with military action and police action, and none of it is justified. And so just the basis of how they're approaching this whole thing from a confrontational totally devoid of any integrity or anything that's sacred, they're going to fail. We just have to keep working on creating something new with our intention. And I just wanted to make that point. So
intention is definitely the key. You know, we've talked about that. And the thing that's interesting from what you just said is the fact that like you say, it's the bigger picture. It's the bigger picture. In order for the average person to really get his teeth into this thing, he's going to have to do two things, and they're not necessarily both easy. One is he's going to have to start thinking globally just like these animals do. Because until he sees the big picture and what's at stake, the vision will be blurred. It's like not being able to see the forest because you're too close to a single tree. And the second thing is, and this is very difficult because most people are really good. I really believe that. I think most people are inherently decent. And for them to realize that the people that are running the show don't care at all about life, happiness, morality, decency, honesty, or any of those popular virtues at all. If they kill one person, it's no problem. If they kill 200,000 or 50 million, it doesn't make a particle of difference. And they will do anything imaginable to succeed in their agenda. The average person, I don't believe, is that unscrupulous. And until they put themselves, at least in an imaginary way, on that level and realize the intensity of the evil that's running the show, they're not going to get the message until it's too late. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that this mess that's going on over in the eastern quadrant of the world doesn't escalate into World War III. Because if it does, they will probably learn the lesson in the hardest possible fashion. You know, I don't even want to dwell on that, really, but the irony of it is that if this happens, it'll very probably not be a war that's restricted to that part of the world. It's going to spread all over the place, and we're going to have lots to contend with here at home as well. because they will definitely take advantage of the situation to declare martial law, and they'll take it as far as they can possibly run with it, regardless of the expense and regardless of the cost to human life and everything else. So let's hope it doesn't go that far. You know, it's really time for an incredible house cleaning. This country has just got to wake up and realize that the vermin that's running the place does not have our best interests at heart. It should be super obvious. But, you know, nobody wants to accept that as reality. Denial is prevalent. And, of course, nobody wants it to be true, so they keep on hoping that it isn't true. And I think the third factor that influences people so much is they really don't know what to do. And part of that is actually their own fault, because by always allowing our so-called representatives, you know, to take the reins and govern in our behalf while we watch football games and TV and movies and drink beer and do whatever else most Americans do, what has basically happened is the new definition of justice has surfaced, and it's spelt JUST-US, just us, meaning the members of the clique. And guess what, folks? We're not in the clique. So, you know, you're getting me on a roll here, which I didn't really want to do, but
I love it when you're on a roll.
It's an emotional issue because it represents, you know, everything that decent people have lived for and hoped for. And we're really on the verge of losing it. And people have to realize that. There's a lot at stake.
Mm-hmm. You know, while you were talking just now, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm not, I'm observing, let's say, from a spiritual perspective, and trying to make sense out of this whole scenario that I described. I'm outside of it emotionally. I'm looking at it, in other words, and you're describing what they do and what their intentions are, and their basically their makeup. It's as if you took an electron microscope and focused it inside them, and there's a lot of room for an echo chamber, a lot of empty space inside. And when we look at the fact that they would start a war, you would have to ask yourself the simple question, why? For what purpose? What does it accomplish? What good does it bring about? And I can't think of one thing. I really can't. This is amongst themselves. It has nothing to do with the people on the planet. And when you mentioned we have to think globally, yes, we have to think in terms of the impact that what we do or what we don't do is going to affect the rest of the world, just like what we do or what we don't do affects the rest of the universe. And the regular listener that's heard show after show after show and has heard this topic is understanding. And yet the listeners come back to see where we're going to go with this again. And I think, you know, we're sort of camping out in this area for a week or two on because it's necessary. I think it's really important for us to do this so that people really get the message. It's a message that both of us would prefer not to have to even deliver. It would be wonderful if we could talk about all the wonderful things that are going on, but that's not what's happening. And we're not intending to parrot or to mimic the activities of the mainstream media, which is basically now under the control of five corporations. All of the newspapers, all of the TV networks, all of the major AM and FM radio stations, and even some of the internet is under their control. And I'm speaking about, you know, the broadcasting. The week of research I spent, Jim, just led me into more and more and more corruption. It just doesn't stop. It is as if an octopus or a squid could grow 10 times the number of tentacles, and then each tentacle grows a new octopus or squid. And again, the process just keeps spreading out. The issues that we face in terms of violation of our email, eavesdropping of our phone conversations, whether it's a landline or it's a line at business, which is usually a landline, or a cell phone, all of our communications are being monitored and intercepted for what? For fear that we are going to figure out what's going on? We've already figured it out. So their fear is that we're going to do something about it at this point, because they know we're waking up, you see. You have to ask yourself over and over and over the question, why? And there's really no reasonable answer other than we talked about this, and we were talking about power. We made an analogy between electrical power and the different types of power that there are, which they've turned into another way of taxing people, metering people, enslaving us, causing us to become dependent on products that depend on those energy systems. And then they have the audacity to make statements like, my car that's parked in my driveway is responsible for all the air pollution while I'm watching 20 or 30 planes an hour fly over my house with at least 8,000 gallons of jet fuel, making cross-country trips. The real people at fault are never blamed. It's always the little guy, you see, because they're the corporations. And I just keep asking myself, when are people going to get the picture? When are they going to wake up and see what's going on? The media.
Well, let me interject something interesting
here,
Don.
Sure.
I have relatives in South America. I have relatives in Europe. And I got lots and lots of friends in Asia. And the thing that's interesting is, on my own little private communication network, if you want to call it that, I get affirmations of what's going on around the world just like you do. And the thing that's interesting is all these other countries are well aware of most of the truth. I don't say all, but they certainly know a lot more than the average American. And the question they're always asking me is, what the heck is wrong with the American people? Are they drugged? Don't they understand what's happening in their own country, in their own backyard? And, of course, here's the deal. As you pointed out, all the media is owned by the same perverted imbeciles that run the rest of the country. And so, naturally, they spoon-feed us exactly what they want us to know and hear, whether it's on TV, the radio, or the newspapers. So people have to realize you're never going to get the truth out of any of that stuff. And they're going to have to start to find other ways. Read the Internet. I mean, before they take that over, too, right now there's a lot of information about what's really happening around the world if you would take the effort to look for it. If you're not informed, if you want to stay in dreamland, then you cannot complain about what happens to you afterwards. It's that simple. You let somebody else run the boat, you let all kinds of sick and perverted people steer the thing and do what they want to do with it. If you don't resist, then you want to go along for the ride. You cannot complain if the thing goes over the brink of the falls. And that's where we're headed.
Mm-hmm. The sad thing, Jim, is the people that need to hear this message are still involved in that matrix, They're watching TV, they're out at the movies, how are we going to get this message to them? Well, there are people that are listening, that can reach out and at least talk to one person. They can make an effort and talk to someone. You know, and then we have to accept that reality that, you know, are we going to take on their karma? Are we going to infringe on their right to free will if they want to be a couch potato or a vegetable? Is it really our place to try to wake them up? I think it is.
You know why? Because, as you pointed out, in this country, people have the right to be a couch potato if that's what they want. They have the right to put paper in their ears and not listen to the truth. But here's the thing that they really ought to know, all of them. If these animals succeed in taking over the way they want the world, those very same people are going to lose the right to be couch potatoes. They're going to lose the right to ignore what's going on, because they will be in work camps along with the rest of us. And they won't have a couch to sit on or a TV to watch. You know, that's the message, folks. We've told you 1,000 times, and you can verify this for yourself. Every state in the union has a concentration camp already existing in it. It's disguised as a military facility. But they're there already. Now, why do you suppose they built those things? And by the way, they used our money to do it. You know, it's not just by accident that these things get constructed. You know, if you say to yourself, oh, it's a lot of hogwash, I'm not going to go out cruising around the country looking for a military facility that's not in full use or it's disguised as something else, you don't even have to go that far. Ride down any road in a county and take a stop and look at the back of the traffic signs, and you'll find that they have separate military instructions in code written on the back of them. This is for the guidance of troops, folks. This is a program that was initiated at least 10, 15 years ago, and there are many parts of the country where it's already complete. There are signs that we think are ordinary traffic signs. If you take a moment, stop, get out of your car, look at the back of them, you'll find that a lot of them have mysterious symbols, numbers, alphanumeric indications. These are all map coordinates. These are all instructions for foreign military personnel so that they can find their way around this country if it comes to the fact that this unsavory outcome is actually initiated. And you've already got, I don't know how many foreign troops stationed here, just waiting. You know, nobody thinks that's strange. What are they all doing here? You know, I mean, I really don't want to get started on all this stuff, Don, because, you know, I'm going to wind up outpouring stuff that I've investigated 10, 15 years ago already, which could only have gotten worse, not better.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, people probably think, I don't mean everybody, but a lot of people probably think, it can't happen here, this is the United States, these guys are smoking too much pot, there's something wrong with them. But you know what? It doesn't take a whole lot of effort to prove to yourself that something isn't right. All you got to do is start using your eyes and listening to what's really happening. Don't rely on the news. They're certainly not going to tell you the truth. I mean, there's been so many people murdered. There's been so many changes made in our system. There's been so many things going on, and none of it's reported. You don't think it's an interesting coincidence that all of a sudden a lot of our generals have disappeared, and now there's new ones in their place, and they all happen to be Israelis or Jews? Not that I have anything against the Jews, but it's just a very strange set of circumstances to be initiated at such a critical time in this country and the world. I mean, there are things going on which bear real tight scrutiny, you know. We really are not in a position to laugh and party while Rome burns. We should really not let history repeat itself.
Yes, I agree. I agree, and that's been the problem here. Any of the messages that come through from a higher place seem to indicate that that you know this is a sad state of affairs, and I mean if you sit down and pray, if you talk to God, God Himself will tell you how pathetic everything is down here. Yet we have such a great potential within us, each and every one of us, if we would for a moment pause and consider what life is about. I often ask myself how many people there are on the planet actually, percentile wise, that actually ever consider what life is about. We become so ingrained in the concept of time and frequency control, it's as though we can't get out of it long enough to take a look and think about what I'm saying. And I know, you know, I'm not speaking to you, Jim, and you know that. And probably I'm not even saying that to the listening audience, because they wouldn't be here if they didn't want to hear something anew, something that reveals the truth. That's why they're here. And other than if their job is to monitor what we're saying, and they can learn something too.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because you know the purpose of life is something that I gave a lot of thought to very early on. And the interesting thing is, I've come to my own independent conclusions a number of times, but when you're on a lonely trek like that, trying to find truth, it's always nice to have it bolstered, or have your opinion about the truth bolstered by other sources. And obviously, I wasn't going to rely on any of the modern sources for that kind of thing, because this kind of corruption and degradation has been going on for certainly all of my lifetime, and I knew about it at an early age. But I was spiritually attracted to the ancients, because there was a time on Earth when there was a more or less golden civilization here, and they didn't get that way by living like we live. They were obviously much more in tune with things than we are. And the interesting thing about it is, if you take the time to read what the ancient beliefs are, even though by the time that information reaches us, it's watered down and treated as mythology, nonetheless, there are grains of truth in there which somehow have managed to traverse the centuries. An example would be what the Egyptians believed about their pharaohs, for instance. They believed that they were gods on earth, and there's many reasons for that too, by the way. But more interestingly, they believed that when they died, if they were properly handled during their lifetime, they would essentially rise into the cosmos and become stars in the heavens, and take on the qualities of a real god. So during their lifetime, they're a demigod on earth, and then they become a real kind of god once they go into the other life and manifest as a star. Well, that's not too far a stretch, you know, from that to realize that the purpose of life is obviously some type of transition, some type of evolution. So when you stop and think about it, even if you use your own life as a yardstick, which a lot of people don't do, actually, and they should, because your own life is the best example that you've got to really look at, unless you want to start looking at, you know, idols of different sorts, like I idolize Tesla and other people of that sort. That's okay, too. But it seems to me that all the indications are that the purpose for coming here is to evolve spiritually. But in order to evolve spiritually, the spirit has to have a body so that it can experience things. And these worlds are set up like big stages where all this stuff goes on. The purpose of it is that when you suffer, it registers a lot more in your psyche than when you have pleasure. Pleasure is interesting, but it's transitory. Suffering is what allows you to really learn things. And so if you use those two criteria as a means of analyzing the events that occur throughout your life, you should try making a chart of it, and you realize that you've made decisions which were painful, and you remember not to do that again unless you're abnormal. And this kind of steers you through life. And just as individuals have a life chart, which is essentially a record of their displacement throughout their lifetime, so do countries, so do planets, so do galaxies. Everything has this trend to it, and it's an upward trend, even though it can be very painful. Sooner or later, it causes you to expand your consciousness. And, you know, there's two ways to go about this. You can kind of blunder your way through life and just sort of see what happens. And then maybe at the very end you'll say, gee, you know, that was kind of a learning experience. Or you can get involved with the whole thing and accelerate your own development. But either way, you're going to learn one way or the other. And I'm a perfect example of that. I mean, I had a lot of really rigid attitudes when I was younger about a lot of things. And my dad was pretty cool. He just said, well, you know, if you won't let me teach you, he said, life will teach you. And it does. So I think the whole purpose of us being here is for our own enrichment on a spiritual plane, not on a physical plane. Of course, you need to do certain things while you're here, and everybody has different experiences based on their karma and based on their personal tendencies. But the overall purpose is for your soul to evolve to a higher form. Now, regardless of what your religion may be, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that information. You know, even Christianity, Judaism, all of those basically are telling you the same message. Even though it's wrapped in particular types of dogma and follows different logic and different rules, basically it's all about learning and becoming more godlike. And that's what the Egyptians said, that's what the Babylonians said, that's what the Mayans said, and so I'm resigned to the fact that that's probably correct. What do you think, Don?
I'm inclined to agree with you. As I brought that point up about the fact that so few people really consider what life is about, and I base that, my opinion, on the fact that I can ask people in a normal conversation. You know, you get to know someone and you ask them what they do for a living, and you ask what their real interests are. And I'll say it like that. You know, the guy might say, well, I work for the Turnpike Commission. And I say, oh, that's a good job. I suppose you have a lot of responsibility. What do you do? Well, I'm a manager. I manage a large group of people. And I'm responsible for keeping tabs of the money we collect and making sure that the paperwork matches the money. Oh, you're supposed to be honest. Yes. And he looks at me like he knows what I mean with that question. Like once it leaves his hands, it's probably being spent by someone else without our knowledge. I mean, why are we taxed to use the things that we were taxed to create? You know, it doesn't make sense. And yet, they're coming up with more ways to tax us for these things. And they never perform the work right in building these things. If you're talking about roads, the local city council is talking about putting asphalt over cracked concrete. That's a fine way to build a road or to fix a road. And they were informed by by two citizens, that one who had worked in the asphalt business and said that you really need a dirt substrate for the asphalt to properly adhere and to not come up when a car or a truck drives over it. And the crack in the concrete, or the half a foot to a foot gap in the expansion joint of two neighboring slabs of concrete may hold the cold patch for a couple of days, but eventually it's going to give, and you have to repeat the process. They keep using this excuse, well, we have to do this the right way. We want to do it the right way. This is why we're not doing anything. I mean, that's the argument they use. Now, how are they going to come up with the money for this? First of all, the money's already been collected for this. You see, they collect the taxes for that purpose. Now they have to add a levy, and the levy is going to be an income tax, or it's going to be a tax based on your income, let's say. Well, it seems to me that the rich guy that's over in Switzerland half the year, because he's running a company over there, is going to have to pay for the roads over here, and he's not even driving on them. If you're going to use that system, why penalize? And I'm not defending the rich per se, but there are some people that are in a place, and the rich guy is going to figure a way to get out of paying it anyway. But the middle class people are going to be the ones that are bearing the responsibility of paying for that improvement. And it's been years that this issue has been a thorn in their side, that the public will not back down. I listened to a young man that's been in the business tell them they're doing it all wrong, and I listened to an elderly gentleman that had some very valid points to make, that they were going about it the wrong way, and he resents the fact that they just presume that it's okay to take money. And what went through my mind is, you're adding another tax onto an illegal system as it is. Are you doing this to justify the illegality of the IRS and the Federal Reserve? It makes me want to ask that question. Show me the law. Show me the law that says that we have to pay that. You see, this is the type of brainwashing, and these people just think that you just go along with it. You accept it. They voted in, and that's the law. Even though there is no law that gives them the authority to do that. Even though there is no law. And you know, there's an interesting point about federal law, is that it can't violate states' laws. And yet, that's exactly what they're doing with those laws. So,
states are standing up to it, but not on every front.
Yeah, some are, but in general, they're not, because the people that are running the government on a local level are as dumbed down as the couch potatoes. They themselves are couch potatoes. These people don't even have the dignity to dress decently for a city council meeting. They're getting ready to take hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars from the public, and they don't have the decency to put on a dress shirt and a tie. You know, they've got their jeans on and a T-shirt and not even a pressed T-shirt. you know, you see, I'm not saying that dressing a certain way makes them any more honest, but at least show some respect and present yourself in a dignified manner. There's no dignity. These people have not a clue about what's going on, and they're running the government on a local level. And it's the same on the state level, except they're a little bit more savvy. They know the ropes a little bit. They know where the funds are coming in, and they know that if they vote for this guy's bill, then they'll get their bill in there, and everybody's going to scratch each other's back. And they get reelected as if they're doing something. It's time that we wake up and smell the coffee. What's ridiculous is, I remember growing up and moving to a brand new neighborhood. I grew up at first in a very old, worn out neighborhood. And we were fortunate enough to move into a bigger home, and we had a brand new street. And I think 33 years went by before they even had to make any repairs on that street. Basically, the same street is still there since I was a teenager. And we're saying this street has been there for about 46 years. And the damage that has been done to the street or the curb was done by the snowplows and the incompetent drivers that work for the city. It's amazing that they damaged the infrastructure more than the citizens themselves. And yet, year after year after year, it goes untaken care of. They've been noticed. People get flat tires driving into potholes and over drainage outlets where there's no grate there to prevent that from happening. They don't care. So you end up having to sue the city to get damages for a brand new vehicle, brand new tires, because somebody was too lazy to do the job the right way. So we have a lot of apathy, we have a lot of laziness, and it's not just the people in the communities, it's the people running the show. They've got other interests at heart. And you know, you try to call these people on the phone, and you can't get through to them. They will not pick up the phone and answer it. They have to patch it through a central system in another city, even.
I know exactly what you mean about that. I've encountered it so many times, and it's thoroughly disgusting. As a matter of fact, I resent the fact that there's so many of these agencies use automated answering systems, and you have no idea what the heck they're really doing. All you know is you can never get a human being all day long, no matter when you call, you get some idiotic message. And, of course, it gives you an infinite number of selections, and each one of them leads to another dead end. So finally you just, you know, hang up in disgust. And I think that's really what it's designed to do. You don't have to answer any calls. They can sit there and play tiddlywinks all day long if they want to. And I think there should be a law against having that, because the electronic answering system can be programmed to do a lot of nothing. But a human being, if it was sitting there, would at least be able to answer the phone and give you some kind of intelligent information. Mm-hmm. And these are supposedly public servants, but yet they're totally irresponsible, and they don't want to be bothered either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the amazing thing.
Now, if we were to buy into this whole thing about, you know, terrorism, okay, and this is what a farce it is, the local airport, you know, major airport, has the threat level is orange. Okay, what does orange mean? What does it mean? The level is orange. Okay, let's say that means it's almost a full-blown certainty that there's going to be a false flag event. That's what I interpret that as. They haven't decided where the false flag event is going to be, because there's no terrorists from another country coming over here. If that were true, we'd already have that problem from the illegal aliens that have come over the border. So,
well, a lot of people have brought that up. You're absolutely correct, because, quite frankly, there's so many people in this country from other countries that we have no idea where they are, who they are, what they're really doing here. If the absolute intention was terrorism, my God, they could turn the place into a shambles. But actually, nobody's doing anything of the sort. Where are the terrorists?
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's
now
the same old story that they keep us living in fear for their own purposes, Don.
Yeah. So they now, you know, this is the trickle down theory of Ronald Reagan. It reaches the state level, then it reaches the county level, then it reaches the local town and city level. Now, imagine that I'm seeing a terrorist act being committed, and for whatever reason I can't get through to 911, or in the case of a city, the mayor actually calls the shots. The mayor has a service director and a safety director, And that usually the safety director, sometimes a person will hold both positions, but the safety director then issues orders to the police from the mayor. Now, you call the mayor's office and you get an answering machine like we just talked about, and they don't even call back. Forget about if there was an emergency. Well, somebody say, well, if you really have an emergency, call the police. Well, you know, if they're eating their donuts and drinking their coffee, they're not about to just jump in the cruiser and take care of it. It just doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen when people call the border guards, the border patrol in Texas or New Mexico or Arizona. They laugh it off. Or that when they do show up, they're backslapping with Chinese soldiers that have entered the United States through Canada or through New Mexico, from Mexico, I should say. So this is, you know, how do you make sense out of this? This is nothing but pure insanity and psychopathy, that they would pretend that this is not happening, that the media would pretend it's not happening. You've got to think somebody in the media is listening to this show right now. Somebody from the government is listening to this show. And how can you listen to this show and go to sleep at night knowing that you know this is true, what we're saying? How can you go home and face your family if you even are lucky enough to have one?
They really believe, Don, that they are of a superior rank to the rest of the people here, and I think one of the reasons they justify their participation in all this is because they figure that when the New World Order is ushered in, these people who helped make this happen are all going to find special rewards, high salaries, positions of management and control, and, you know, they actually believe that crap. If you want a perfect example of the kind of integrity that exists in the higher realms of people who control this planet right now, all you've got to do is look at Bush's activities. How many people has he promised things to in other governments and walked away from? You know, this latest invasion of Georgia, what's the name of the other country that that's gotten invaded back there just behind Georgia?
Ossetia.
Yeah, I mean, they were promised that if anything happened, that there would be U.S. assistance immediately and this and that. And I think now there's something like, 35,000 dead already, and the people are asking, well, where's all the U.S. help that was promised? You know, these people will say anything. Doesn't make any difference. They are pathological liars. Their only interest in the whole world is their own objectives, whatever they may be. And so it shouldn't surprise anybody the stuff that they do. But you can't believe them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And so that becomes the modus operandi of all these characters. But here's the odd part about it, and it's a good reason why they don't teach history, I suppose. But every time there was a major takeover, if you look at Russia, if you look at what the British did in Africa, if you look at what the Germans did in Africa, if you look at what the Spanish did in South America, any place like that, it didn't matter how they achieved their objective or who helped them. Once they had attained the position that they wanted, everyone was slaughtered. Or at least if they weren't killed, they were put in positions of subjugation. All these poor fools that think that they are really going to help usher in a new world order and be rewarded for it, you'll get a reward all right. You'll be lucky if it isn't a bullet. Because every purge that was ever initiated was always after a great takeover. The most recent example is, not the most recent, but certainly one of the largest examples is the Russian Revolution. You know, yourself, you've talked about all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know where these people's minds are or what they really dream about, but they're out of touch with reality in many directions, not just one.
Yeah, you're right. Well, we could harp on any aspect of this. I think we're seeing signs. What we're witnessing, these little squirmishes, are skirmishes. Maybe they should be called squirmishes, actually, because they're squirming in their pants because they're getting found out on every level. This is more smoke and mirrors. Obfuscation of what's really going on. They start a war. Everybody looks in that direction while the Chinese are getting ready to administer these 100 million vaccines of bird flu. Really, it's the bird flu. It's not a vaccine. You know, and there are people that have died from taking the vaccine already. Of course, you're not going to hear about it because they want to make money. Why is Congress pushing this behind closed doors? Why do they push this? Well, here's what we got, boys. You got a chance to make some money. We're going to sell 100 million vaccines of H5N1. Who wants in on it? They all raise their hand. The law gets passed. They open the door. Nobody knows what's going on. And one person that's got the guts to come out goes to Dr. Truat. And he produces several DVDs talking about the problem. And still, people see the DVD, and they say, this can't be true. This can't be going on. Yet people are dropping like flies from all kinds of sickness. People have lung infections, blood infections. They have all kinds of allergies. We're seeing our vegetation being wasted. Animals are... we used to see hundreds of deer in deer season. Last year I saw two deer. I happened to see one driving through another area yesterday, and it was in an area very close to a town. And there were plenty of woods around there, and this deer was foraging for food in an area where, you know, it was all alone. It was a young deer, too. And you see no bees around, and you can see that something is wrong, that everywhere you look, there is something wrong, and it just doesn't seem to sink in. So these things are...
You know, it's interesting about... I'm sorry, go ahead, Don.
Well, I was just going to say, these things are happening on every possible level that we can experience some sort of setback in terms of nature, in terms of our communities, our infrastructure, leadership, it doesn't matter. And all they're doing is stealing money. This thing with Georgia is to keep Putin busy because they owe him $30 billion. I wrote about that in January of 2007. Here we are now.
Putin's no fool. He knows exactly what the tactics are, and he's not falling for it.
Yeah, exactly. They're telling us, we don't want Iran to develop nuclear weapons. Well, it's come out now within the last couple of days definitively that Iran has had 12 nuclear weapons since 2003. So, again, we have a song and dance. And they can use them. I wouldn't blame them if they used them in defending themselves. But these madmen, to get the people behind another war with another country that's not bothering us whatsoever, they'll take out an aircraft carrier or some other large ship with several thousand men on it just to get the support like they did on 9/11. And the general public is still dumbed down about it. They could care less. They could care less about that event, and they could care less about the next one. And, you know, it's going to get to a point, like you said, where they're not going to have any choice. They're going to be confronted with it head on if they don't wake up and do something. And it's going to be too late. And, we're doing our part right now, and I'm not going to feel the least bit guilty about somebody that is going to be in dire straits. I don't wish it upon anyone, But, you know, you got to take responsibility for yourselves, folks. That's been a recurring message, not just on this show, on other shows. And I'm coming back to where we started. I'm hearing it in other places. People are the people that are awake are getting it. And they're
now here's the thing too, Don. You know that the message I hear all the time is, well, what can we do about it? Well, you know, it's like anything else. You have to start with the small things. How many towns are there where there are injustices and dishonest practices going on? And people just turn a blind eye to that sort of thing because, I don't want to get involved. Well, I got news for you. You have to get involved. If you don't, it's going to involve you one way or another, and probably in a bad way. But if you nip stuff like that in the bud by taking and putting together a local committee, bolt the guy out, prosecute him, put him in jail, end of story. Once you get in the habit of doing that and you realize you've got the power to do it, two things will happen. First of all, your own confidence in the sovereign ability that we all have will be bolstered. And secondly, the word will get around, hey, you know what? People aren't tolerating this crap anymore. We better toe the line. Because, you know, when a person is immoral, they will go as far as you let them go. It's no different than the bully on the block. You know, he'll go around beating up kids just for the sheer fun of it until somebody picks up a baseball bat and puts the dimwit in the hospital. Then finally it'll dawn on him, geez, you know what? That wasn't such a good idea. I pestered the wrong person. Now, you know, most people don't like to think about that, but I have news for you folks. Human nature hasn't changed in a million years, and it certainly hasn't changed in the last 150. So, you know, when you have this type of mentality, there's only one way that you can cope with it. You have to do something about it. If you don't confront the evil, it will spread. You can watch it happen if that's what you prefer to do, but history teaches us that this is what will occur. So, I mean, it's like, do you want to really wait and see if I'm right? You want to wait and see what these people have in store for you? All those concentration camps have processing centers, friends. You know, that's exactly what they did to the Jews in Germany. They pulled out their teeth. They used their skin. They used their bones. They did everything with the human chemistry that they wanted to do. And they harvested everything imaginable. Don't be surprised if you see that happen again. Because it's just an extension of the behavior that they exhibit right now. If they will take your blood earnings, if they will take every penny that you earn, then why shouldn't they take your teeth and take out the fillings? Why shouldn't they use your skin for lampshades and gloves? After all, you're there. You're a resource. They really believe that they own you. What are you going to do, meekly accept it? Well, you know, the future's in our hands, nobody else's.
And we don't even get a choice in what kind of lampshade we're going to be, you know?
Yeah, that's the pity of it.
Yeah, you know? It's...
I think those folks that have tattoos will probably wind up being the most popular, you know?
You think so? The new Tiffany lamps, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Well... I could say we can watch what transpires in the next week. I think you know, the message of intention sunk in. There were quite a few people, even you know, I was unaware of anyone that was really talking about intention until this past week, after we did that show last week. And I'm not saying that we were responsible. That could have taken place from some inspiration, you know, from a higher place that's going all around. It's not necessarily that one message is going, you know, around the block, so to speak. But I noticed that there is some hope in that area. And as we've said over and over again, those that that are just refusing to awaken or just preferring to remain in denial, those are the people that are going to suffer. They're the ones that are going to come crying and screaming and kicking, why didn't you tell us this? Why didn't, this can't be happening. I didn't know it. Those are the people that are going to go totally insane because they're not going to be able to cope with any of the other changes that are taking place simultaneously, which are quite evident. And you know about those being a scientist, that this issue of global warming, it's something to be blamed on the people that are driving cars. Oh, man. I get very, very irritated. You know, you're driving your car. Are you driving your car to the Amazon jungle and knocking down all the trees? You know, are you doing that? I mean, that's where the ozone holes are, aren't they? And over by the South Pole? What is going on that's creating that? And why blame it on the people? You see, even the government in their corruption is in denial about it. You see, they're in as much in denial as those that they've snared in their little matrix. It's amazing.
Well, you know, the changes that you mentioned before, especially about the animal life and the changes in vegetation, you know, there's a whole host of things we could add to that. You know, one of the biggest and most obvious is the loss of biomass in the seas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a time when the oceans could support the whole planet that had so much life in it. And it's not that they're overfished, although I believe they are, so much as the fact that the waters are changing. You know, we're pumping sewage in there. We're throwing all kinds of God only knows what kind of chemical waste in there. And slowly but surely, we are terraforming our oceans into something else, something like a sewer. And, you know, here's the thing. Life is very, very flexible, you know. And if we insist upon turning the oceans into a sewer, don't get the wrong idea. We're not going to kill off life. Life is a force that's initiated by the Creator, and it will take whatever form it needs to in order to manifest. Now, I was just reading the other day about a real interesting situation with an experiment that was done in one of the lakes in an isolated northern community. And basically what they did was they slowly brought up the temperature in the lake by artificial means, because they wanted to see what would happen when global warming got to the point where the temperature barrier was too high for the normal life forms to sustain themselves. And so all the fish started dying, the grass around the lake started dying, and pretty soon the lake became infested with this purplish material. And they examined it, and it turned out that it was a type of bacteria that emits, as a waste product, it emits hydrogen sulfide gas. And the gas became so prolific from this incredible colony of bacteria that multiplied exponentially that it was actually killing the trees and all the vegetation around the lake. And they tested this in salt water and found that the same critters could live in salt water. They didn't have any particular concern about the fact that it wasn't fresh water. So, you know, we have to realize that the forces of nature are such that they respond in kind to what you do to them. Okay, so if we insist on polluting the seas, maybe we'll kill off all the wonderful fish and animals we know about. But what about some kind of critter that is just waiting to evolve in the new seas that we are creating for them? What type of ungodly monster do you think could live in that kind of an environment? And what will the effect be if it decides to feed on us or decides to destroy you know, the rest of the environment around it. Like those bacteria, they're not very big. You'd never think that they'd have such an effect. But colonies, you know, can be trillions and trillions of bacterial individuals. And together they produce ungodly clouds of this gas. And the matter of fact, the gas production was so prolific, Don, that the scientists are now revamping their theories about perhaps this is the mechanism that was responsible for various eras of extinction. You know, originally they were always looking for a meteor from space or volcanic activity or this or that. But this is something that can happen so fast and is so deadly that they're now actually considering that if the seas could suddenly be converted to the point where this bacteria could spread in the oceans, that they could have, in fact, been responsible for large-scale extinction of various species. So, you know, it's the same old story. We're responsible. I'm not a religious person, but, you know, in the Bible it says that that when God created the earth, he put man here to act as steward for his creation. And that means that we are in the position of being responsible for the planet. And that means, too, that we cannot complain if we destroy it to the point where it destroys us. It's the same story over and over again, Don. We have to be responsible.
How many millions did they spend on that that research?
I have no idea, but it is interesting that that they had a result that they didn't anticipate, and it was very frightening.
Yeah, you see, in my mind, is the first thing I'm thinking is those poor fish, those poor plants, the poor water. You know, I sense the consciousness in life, and that they have to destroy it for the purpose of seeing what happens when you destroy it. It makes no sense. And it's as though they're doing the experiment so they can see what they have to do to destroy the seas. Next, they'll do an experiment like that. And you know, you were describing all of the anomalies that were going on, and it sounded like you were describing a politician. It did. If I didn't know what you were talking about and I joined this broadcast right at that spot, I'd have thought you were talking about politicians sucking the life out of everything, destroying everything it came into contact with, maybe waiting to pounce on something else. It's just like a politician.
Well, that's all I know how to do. You know, and that's the thing that really bothers me. In the old days, and I mean, you know, way back, like after the revolution, the people who were representatives and the people who made the wheels of government turn were farmers and shopkeepers and goldsmiths and, you know, craftsmen, people that actually could do something for a living, but they also wanted to serve their nation. And so when they went in and served as a governor or a mayor or a representative of some sort, they took with them the wisdom and the experiences that were obtained in dealing with people on a commercial level in their everyday lives. The interesting thing about it is, what sort of scum do we have filling those positions today? And what do they take with them? Well, most of them are lawyers or attorneys. I shouldn't say lawyers because there's a difference. Most of them are attorneys. And they take with them all the experience that they learn how to screw people out of this or that or the other thing on a lower level. And they now learn how to apply it on higher and higher levels of government. So you have this ever-escalating sense of how do we screw them a little bit more. It's really amazing. It's a totally different picture. than what it used to be. Completely different.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had the opportunity to interview Jim Mars on my show recently, and he was on Coast to Coast last night with George Norrie, and I listened to him speak. And, you know, when you're interviewing someone, you're listening to what they're saying, and you have to really stay on top of the pulse of what's being discussed, because it could go in any direction. But as I listened to him speak, he brought up many things that I have seen in my research, either from what I've learned from reading the works of others or in what I've discovered following the path. And Jim Mars and I talked about this in great detail when he was on my show. And I said, this is really not an accident that this is happening like this, that two people, I mean, he didn't know me from a hill of beans, you know, but he's read my research, and we've discussed who is behind this on the whole level that you and I have discussed this. It's not just people that don't have a grasp on the government. It's not just the central bankers. It's not just the people controlling the central bankers. It's not just the people that are sitting on thrones in various kingdoms in various parts of the world. People are still holding on to those traditions as if there's something sacred about it. And these people are anything but sacred. And yet the media, again, has built, you know, the Queen of England, you know, God bless her heart if she's doing things to help humanity. But I just don't see the justification for the opulent display. It's really the gross display of wealth. And the church is the same way. The hypocrisy that is there. You any direction you turn, you can't see any integrity. You only see somebody bending to a force greater than them. One caller called in eventually and said, "Who's behind all of this?" And Jim said, "Well, be a little bit more specific with your question." And the person said, "Well, what I'm getting at is it the reptilians who are doing it?" I thought that was really interesting that someone would come up with that when the whole show was about Nazis, basically, and Operation Paperclip and the various powers that be that still believe that their party is together and that they're going to take over the world. I mean, in some sense, they're doing it. And then you have those that are in this movement, supposedly, that are telling people things like, "I wish they would stop using the word Nazi or Ashkenazi." Well, someone that comes across after the amount of murder, if we're to believe that 6 million Jews were murdered, I've seen plenty of evidence to know someone was murdered, then you're not going to take sides. What is the agenda? What is the purpose for twisting it all of a sudden, as if that's something that was in the past and it doesn't still occur today? Because everything that they did then was done out of secrecy, and it's being done today out of secrecy, except they've gotten so arrogant about it that they can't even keep secrets anymore. And we've learned about it. I see people now, actually, the regular people that are really aware of this, demonstrating little snippets of insanity themselves. Illogical thinking and denial. Or somebody has really put the fear of God into them, or just plain old bribed them. And so I keep looking at the big picture and who's pulling the strings behind the scenes, and we're really dealing with the small fish in this whole story. The people that have control over us really are not all that important in the bigger picture. And so it doesn't take much of an awakening to come to that realization. Pretty simple, really. I don't know. Do you agree, Jim?
Well, I agree with you, but, you know, maybe the guy was, what he was really trying to get at was, like, Well, okay, I can buy the fact that there are all these secret individuals who are really pulling the strings and running the show, but who the heck are they? You know, I mean, I've actually had a lot of people ask me that, and of course, I don't know that anybody knows the answer, but you can get a pretty good idea of who they are. I mean, the Bilderbergers are involved, you know, the Rothschilds are involved. It doesn't really matter who they are. You know, if you did know who they were, you wouldn't know who they were anyway, if you know what I mean. But, it's so complicated. You know, it's like I've often thought if I had supreme control of the whole thing, it's so bad right now that I wouldn't know where to start to fix it. Well, I mean, I got some ideas, but it would take an enormous effort. And that brings us right back to where we were before. No one individual is going to be able to do anything. This is only going to work if the entire organism on the planet gets in sync and says, you know what, it's time to clean house. You have to act just like an ant village does. You know, if it's invaded by some kind of bugs, you know, they don't just all sit around and say, oh, gee, you know, here comes that ugly thing that wants to eat my family or wants to eat me or whatever. Let's see what happens. That's ridiculous. The entire colony is alerted, and they act in unison. And that's why they survive. And that's what we have to do. We have these big, ugly bugs.
There's a lot more of them.
There's a lot more of us than them.
Yeah. No, there's a lot more of them than there are of us. I mean, I'm talking about the bugs now.
Well, I was talking about the bugs, but I meant it in a sarcastic manner. I mean, if you look at them as being invading bugs. But anyway, the point is, if we act in unison, we can do anything we want to do. And that's the thing that bothers me. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, taking that kind of an attitude. I mean, how many times did you see Westerns when you were growing up? And you have a bunch of for a town. And pretty soon the people get ticked off to the point where they all pick up their rifles and they just do what has to be done. Well, I'm not necessarily advocating violence here. There's other alternatives. But the point is, if we don't do something, you already know what's going to happen. The handwriting's on the wall. It's just the way it is. By the way, Don, you brought up a point earlier, and I wanted to ask you about this, but we got sidetracked. When you were talking about the disappearance of the bees, and we've actually touched on that issue on several shows,
mm-hmm.
Do you have any evidence that the bees are disappearing in other countries, or is it just here?
I've been hearing this in many places. Now, I'll get an email or talk to someone living in a different part of the country that has remarked that they now have a beehive living in, you know, that's been constructed in a tree on their property. And, you know, I'll make a general comment. You know, you should leave it there, right? Allow them to start regrouping. That may be a fortunate colony that was able to regroup and find a place that they recognize. But I'm hearing pretty much all over the planet that the same phenomenon is going on, the bees seem to be disoriented. They seem to be coming down with, I forget exactly what they were calling it, but it's some sort of colony collapse, they call it. They always have a term for it when they cause the destruction, you know. They're prepared to tell you. Something that never happened before in our history, all of a sudden they know what it's called. And I'm not a beekeeper, but I know a few beekeepers, and I know that they've always had a lot of productivity from their bees. They would had so much that they could sell honey, and that's not occurring as much anymore. So this is a problem that's all over the world.
Well, the reason I asked was because one of my pet areas of interest, as you know, is Atlantis, and there have been a lot of interesting theories produced about the last days of that ill-fated continent. And one of the things that seems to have happened there also is that the animal life and the insects started to disappear. And it could just be that they left the area because they sensed that something really negative was going to happen. You know, after all, animals do have, they're more in touch with their environment than we are. Like horses and other animals know when there's going to be an earthquake long before there is one. And so, you know, maybe all of this is, in fact, the heralding of some form of doom that's approaching.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I want to embrace that outcome, but considering the circumstances and considering all that we're doing on this planet, wouldn't surprise me too much if there's going to be a retribution for it.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And it's not just the bees that are having this problem, too. You know, I mentioned the deer, and this is being seen across the country in, you know, I'm not into hunting. Some people are, and some people are into hunting for survival purposes, and some are into it for the sport. But there is also something occurring in the area of the wildlife that live out in these really beautiful areas. I'd have to think it's a combination of things. It could be runoff of pesticides getting into the drinking water. Chemtrails definitely is playing a role. You have these cattle in the strangest of places coming down with mad cow disease. And they're putting sheep meal in cow food. I mean, what do they expect is going to happen? Not to mention what they're doing to people's pets with the rendering plants. I don't know if you're at all familiar with those, but basically, if what I've been told, and I've spoken to some vets who've told me the same thing. Let's say, you know, you have an animal, a dog, and you've had this animal for 15 or 20 years, and it's time to consider putting the animal down because it's suffering a lot more than is necessary. They've had a good life, and you've decided that based on dealing with all the side issues of their illness, you want to see them out of their misery. So you euthanize your animal, and the vet says, well, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. You're grief-stricken anyway. And this animal, these animals get picked up, and they go to the rendering plant where dog food and cat food is made. And the animal goes into that mix. Hair, vaccines, claws, teeth, bones. And it gets ground up into the food. Now imagine all the vaccines that your pet has received. Imagine the disease that it may have died from going into the food that you're going to give to a live animal. And you wonder why our pets get sick? You wonder why animals in the wild are getting sick? Or animals on farms that are being bred either for meat or dairy purposes? Again, follow the money. It's just unconscionable that this goes on and that these people think that somehow they are going to escape the karma that they have created for themselves. It never ceases to amaze me, Jim.
Yeah, well, it's beyond description, but it's interesting that that you should share that little story because once they start that with the animals, how long is it going to be before they start doing it with people's corpses? And then,
well,
of course, you run into the, remember the Soylent Green?
I was just going to say, Edward G. Robinson and what is his name now? He was this Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston.
Yes. So yeah, that's a that's exactly where it's going, isn't it?
Well, it looks that way, but you know, they've got a few more barriers to cross before they can make it legal, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
this. Well,
I,
Jim,
I hate to say it, but this show has not been on an upbeat tonight. But we certainly covered a lot of territory.
Yeah, well, not every show can be upbeat, and sometimes it's important that we just get this message across. Now, we can change it to become an upbeat message. We talked about that at the outset. And you know, these are issues that we have to face. Are we going to just create upbeat shows, or are we going to bring the truth? Now,
well,
we can make
I'm
it
for
upbeat.
The truth, as you know, but... It's interesting that if you get into this stuff deeply enough, it affects your mood, you know, and you start to think about it yourself even more deeply, and you realize that we're really at the brink of quite an abyss.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, I've often said I would much rather be making music. And some people are saying, well, why don't you? Well, I am. But I would rather just be devoting my time to that. I would ask a rhetorical question. If I don't bring this message forward, who's going to do it for me? Because when they do it for me, they're doing it for you. And so that leaves something for everyone to ponder over the coming week, doesn't it?
I think it leaves a lot to ponder.
Well... I thank you, Jim, for staying on the show this late and be willing to put your heart and mind into tackling some of these issues and revealing what you know and your perceptions about these things. And I hope that people really, you know, if this message got to you, if you're thinking about what we talked about and you feel it's worthwhile, share it with a friend. You can sign up for the BBS Radio Archives. It's like $25 for a whole year, and you can get all the archives on BBS Radio. And that's a lot of shows. No one out there has anything like that with the extent of information that's there. You can also go to my website, directlightproductions.com, as I get archives posted up there, and you can listen to them. And they're being reloaded into the iTunes podcast. Apple kind of goofed some things up and turned them all the audio files into video files. And they're not video files, so people are having trouble downloading them. But I'm replacing them piecemeal, and the intention is to get them all up there so you can download them if you feel that's how you want to listen to them. But you can listen to them at the website. And I want to thank all the people that have been reading a lot of the information on the site. My website rankings have jumped up in the past month by another 69%. Every month they're climbing, and it's because of the listening audience and my readership. And so I'm grateful to you folks. Keep spreading the word. That's how the truth gets out there. If you're not going to do the research, if you're not going to step forward and take a stand, the least you can do is tell someone else about this message. Jim, I want to thank you again, and I look forward to seeing you again next week on Evident Footprints.
I'll be here, Don. You know that.
Okay. And folks, be sure to tune in Monday. I have a guest who has his own radio show, Mr. Chris Hinckley. He's the Road Warrior Radio on RBN. And we're going to be talking about the current events as they play out over the weekend. In the meantime, special thanks to Don Newsom and also to Seth Hendrick on the sound. And I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.